Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Welsh. And today we have Jake Seeley, Brandon Funston for week three ranks. We're going to be battling them all against each other. Yes, we will cherry pick every single rank that Jake has been picked on, that Brandon has been battling and fighting. And we are going to expose them all and make everybody mad. No, we'll just talk about the ranks. We'll actually just get through the ranks and we'll help people out this week. Mr. Jake Seeley, was your rank week three sheet over on The Athletic that people can get right now the most chaotic that you've seen in quite a while, like we predicted, or was it a little bit more tame?
No, it's pretty much still as of today, because joked about it on Monday and with other shows too. It's a lot of if and but statements, like it should be an Excel spreadsheet, because still today, as right now, Thursday, middle day, James Conner, Alvin Kamara, if Dobbins is ifs, like there's just ifs, and that's just running back.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. But I mean, more than the ifs, I'm looking at like the question section, the comment section. How's that treat?
That's normal. You're like this is actually
little block
like,
here, little block there, little
you can't Mutombo? you can't block comments. I Mutombo in my mind. You can't do that on the website though. It'd be nice.
That's
if
the
I
next
could.
Feature. I was about to say that'll yeah. be the next feature.
The next added feature. Yeah,
that can only be the hope.
Mr. I'm willing. I'm willing to bet that Jake does more than a Mutombo in his mind. I bet you.
You know what?
I think you're going to cash that bet. Got some Game of Thrones type fantasies going on there.
I think you're going to cash that bet. Brandon, how has the preparation for week three gone as we're going to dig into these? Do you feel more confident after 2 weeks of just searching through and understanding what's going around the NFL? Or do you think there's even more questions going into week three and how we're going to be putting our ranks together?
Yeah. You know, I always used to say that like 3 weeks was a good kind of foundational place to jump off from. I think we're so far
before
away
before or
that.
After
week three. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not sure we're going to get there in week three. I think, you know, normally that feels like the right time after 3 weeks. I think we might need more than that. And we're getting a lot of vacillating, a lot of like things going on from 1 week to the other with teams where you're like, you think you know what's going on. Then the next week, you know, they pull the rug out from under you and they do something completely different. I think that's kind of where we're at. So if we get some decent dust settling after week three in terms of how the landscape's going to look going forward, I'll be pretty surprised, because I think we're a long way from that still.
I agree. And kind of toying with the idea of the injuries at the beginning, that's kind of the headline to this, is there's a massive amount of ifs and buts, question marks around players and on two camps. So I'm just going to rattle through. These are a few of the biggest, most impactful injuries that we're kind of tackling right now. And as of Wednesday, Thursday, these guys still necessarily not doing anything big. James Conner was a DNP on Wednesday, though there is some hope. He did some light work on the side that wasn't considered limited, but he was still out there. Chris Godwin, DNP on Wednesday. Julio did not practice, though he had a limited session on Tuesday. Hunter Renfrow, we haven't even seen after the concussion and the fumbles. George Kittle had a very limited practice on Wednesday. So the question is, and Brandon, we'll start with you, expectations on any of these players, these specific guys right here. We've got another section for it, but do you have expectations either negative or positive on this front? We haven't seen Kittle. We saw Godwin in week one, but then that, you know, fell apart. James Conner leaves a big question mark as far as what that running game goes. Do you have a take positively or negatively on these big injuries that we're waiting for some resolution on?
Yeah, I don't. I guess my expectation in Tampa is they're going to be without Godwin again. And if Julio Jones is in this gray area, I think at this point in his career, you have to just count him out. So he's too much. The precedent's been set that even if he does go out and play, we can see him walking off the field in the middle of the game. So you're looking at, is Breshad Perriman the legitimately only truly healthy guy in that Buccaneer stable of kind of, you know, quote unquote regulars? Maybe Russell Gage plays as well, but Scotty Miller, they're all questionable, and Perryman's the only one that doesn't have any kind of an injury tag. So we could come down to it. I mean, Breshad Perryman could be truly looking like the number one target there. One thing I'll say on George Kittle, if he plays, don't think that it's going to be limited. I was just looking. I mean, I was like, you know, George Kittle, I remember thinking, oh, he's been out for a while. You might want to be a little bit leery about him coming back and playing. The last couple of years, he's come out and showed out right away, the first game after a long layoff. So there's you know, there's some history to that as well. So if he's out there, don't even hesitate. I mean, the tight end landscape's bad enough that no one's going to hesitate if George Kittle's active anyway.
Gerald Everett. It's Gerald Everett season. You know, one thing I would point out, I didn't want to jump on it, but I do believe Breshad Perryman was also like in a limited practice on Wednesday. So he had a little bit of that. So they also signed Cole Beasley. So that will be just a fun mess.
That's right. Forgot about that.
Yeah, they got Cole Beasley on the practice squad. It might be a Russell Gage, Scotty Miller day, but, you know, what are we really having expectations as far as the offense goes? And that's probably a bigger question about how Brady and that entire offense performs. Jake, kind of same question. Are any of these guys really positively or really negatively affecting you, or you're considering or focusing on, especially the James? I'm curious at your take on the James Conner one and how you're treating that versus like Darrell Williams and Eno Benjamin.
Well, we just got, actually, while we're recording this live, James Conner's at practice today. So there you go. Return to practice, including news with Rondale Moore sidelines. So we got those, both of us are doing this. So it sounds like James Conner should be okay. I still consider him risky. I'd probably put him more in the Ezekiel Elliott range versus being a fringe RB1 in case he aggravates it, comes out early. They just seed some of the touches just to keep him healthy if he's out there. So that would be my concern with that. Yeah, I wouldn't expect Godwin, Julio Jones. I mean, if he's out there, where I go with Funston and agree with is the fact is, like, if he's actually out there, I don't expect him to be like, oh, we're going to play Julio Jones on a pitch count. Like, it would just be like, let's play Julio Jones or not play Julio Jones. There's not like this middle ground type of situation. So I'm interested in that. I don't really want to play Perryman, but the Julio Jones not being out there would make him intriguing. I think the safest one, though, is Russell Gage. I mentioned this on All in Football, and I said the process was right. The result was half right. Gage got the targets and the receptions. It's just the yards were trash. It's just, but the targets and the options are still there for Russell Gage. It's just, I would expect a better game this week.
So on the opposite end, kind of in tow with what you just mentioned with James Conner, there are some injuries that have had some positive turns. Keenan Allen, he did individual drills on Wednesday. Alvin Kamara practiced in full on Wednesday, practiced on Wednesday. I don't want to say it was in full. J.K. Dobbins was at practice. They've mentioned him as week to week, but he was in a full practice on Wednesday. So this question, Jake, goes to you. Assuming these are all, you know, great things, Keenan Allen, Kamara, Dobbins, even throwing out, because you just kind of mentioned it with James Conner, what is your level of trust going to be in Allen, Kamara, Dobbins if they were all active? Are you going to assume if Allen plays, he's a full go? Is Kamara going to be really, really trustworthy with the usage and a little bit banged up? Like, are you going to be full bore with all three of these guys if active?
The first two, the Keenan Allen and Alvin Kamara, because they have options that they could turn to. They don't have to force them out there. The J.K. Dobbins, no, he's going to come along slowly. I know that Fonson always references Virginia Sackis, and for good reason, over at Inside Entry. She does a lot of work for us. They go back a month and a half ago, and she was saying that, hey, you know, this isn't potentially ready for week one, let alone potentially past that. Potentially a third part of the potentially is that we don't even see the real J.K. Dobbins till next year, till 2023. So whether or not J.K. Dobbins gets out there and then even is 100% of himself or even 100% of his workload, I mean, there's a lot of ifs with him. So the first two, I'm not that concerned about. If Keenan Allen's playing, I'm playing him. If Alvin Kamara's playing, I'm playing him. Then I'm playing James Conner, too. Maybe not as high as I would have all three normally, but who, again, go back to what Fonsa said with Kittle. Like, who are you benching him for? Like, seriously, who are you going to bench these guys for? The J.K. Dobbins, I don't want to put him out there until I absolutely have to. He's probably going to be the best option, but that's only by default because the other three are trash.
Yeah, and I'm unfortunately going to be facing this J.K. Dobbins situation. It's going to be a big burn for me. Same thing, Brandon. Do you feel the same way about these three guys? Is it full bore for Kamara and Allen, regardless of other options? You trust it, and Dobbins is a big old question mark?
Yeah, I think I have Kamara ranked in the mid-teens, so, and that's assuming he's playing. So that's kind of where I feel about him, even if he's playing. So I suppose you have first world problems where you could find a way to not have Kamara in your lineup if he is playing. But But I agree with Jake, and I'm glad he referenced Virginia, because she's been nailing this J.K. Dobbins stuff a long time ago and saying maybe we won't see him in September, be slow in October, and we might see some semblance of the real J.K. Dobbins in the second half of the season. So right now she's been right on, and all that stuff, you know, you start to doubt yourself, doubt the information when they start talking at the end of preseason about Dobbins as being out there and they think he's going to be ready to go for week one. But, you know, when push comes to shove, Virginia was absolutely right. The injury is the injury. That they have, you know, lots of research done on it, and Dobbins is in fact human. So he is going through, you know, what it takes for the rehab process.
I like that you cited your ranks, because one thing I feel like it's kind of lost, and I don't know how people consume ranks in general. You might just consume one person, like Jake's over at The Athletic. You check out the article, that's all you care about. You might go to a place like Fantasy Pros, which has got like consensus stuff. And when you start to look at a whole bunch, I feel like there's a lot of hedging. So that's why I was curious when you said, well, I put him here because this is what I assume. I feel like more people than not hedge their ranks early on with Kamara, where they're like, well, I don't know if he's going to play. He might play. So I'm just kind of put him here and we'll see what happens. So it's like, all right, well, if he's active now, where would you put him? I feel like most people don't actually stick. So if people are paying attention to early ranks with those fringy type of players, I don't feel like they actually stick to the rank you see early in the week, because it's like, well, now if he's active, he's here. And that was really my main question with Kamara. It's like, are we going to trust him if he's active? Because also the usage hasn't really been that great. Mark Ingram kind of looked good last week. They gave Tony Jones a whole bunch of snaps. I wonder if they would just kind of put him on a little bit of a pitch count, maybe more than Allen. But
yeah, I did the same thing with Allen. I ranked him like he's playing. I think I have him 13th or something. So it's funny when you ask us, like, who are the receiver that you like a little bit more than everybody else? And I go and I look on Fantasy Pros at who I have ranked higher. Well, Keenan Allen's still at like 72. No one's ranking him like he's playing.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to put him at 30, like halfway, you know, like.
I did too.
But to your point, I'm not putting him at 30. If he's in, he's in my, you know, he's in my top 15. If he's out, then obviously he's way down the list.
Me and Jake, we're like, we both did. So, but apparently we didn't affect the consensus ranks, but I might have been published. So they're out there. I don't know. All right. So let's talk about those week three ranks, piecing together some of these pieces. Obviously, we're not going to go numerically, but we can talk about some of our favorite guys for the week. And we'll start with quarterbacks. Just like last week, it's a quarterback that I love that you don't. Jake Seeley, who's a quarterback that you love that everybody else does not?
I mean, maybe they do, because if they've been using them, I don't know how you used them the first week, but maybe you used them the second week because you're like, what the hell ever, I'll just go ahead and do it. Joe Flacco, I mean, until the Zach Wilson's under center, Joe Flacco is just going to continue to throw the ball a billion times just like Carson Wentz. Honestly, you could sit here and say, what's the difference between Joe Flacco and Carson Wentz so far? Carson Wentz has slightly better numbers, but I'm pretty sure they're back-to-back at most sites, NFL, ESPN, and so forth, because Joe Flacco's just tossing it. The Jets defense isn't that great, so I don't know why really things are going to change. I said this to Pat. They're playing Cincinnati, a little bit tougher defense. Cincinnati hopefully gets on track and can kind of make this a shootout. And I don't know if I could do this with my own team, but if you took the names off the jerseys, as I always love to say, you could sit there and say with your fantasy team, you should play Joe Flacco over Tom Brady. That's a tough trigger to pull, but I mean, the argument is there so far through the first 2 weeks.
Interesting thing here. So on Fantasy Finishes, I just pulled this up. This is just on Fantasy Pro stuff. It's an easy thing to find. As far as Fantasy Finishes go through the first 2 weeks, Carson Wentz and Joe Flacco are both inside the top 10. Wentz has a little bit of an edge. So he's like in the top five and Flacco is still inside the top 10. But let's not focus on that. Let's focus. They're both top 10 quarterbacks. Now you want to go over to consensus ranks for this week. Carson Wentz on Fantasy Pros is the 13th quarterback. Joe Flacco, the 26th. So, I mean, you do like Joe Flacco, I think, quite a bit more than maybe the other people. And he's
nobody wants to play him.
No one wants to play him, but he is going to sling the ball. Brandon, quarterback that you love that everybody else doesn't.
This is kind of sort of because I really dislike some quarterbacks that normally are higher than Derek Carr, but I have Derek Carr 8th, and I reference that in that, like, I don't like Aaron Rodgers this week at Tampa. I don't like Tom Brady because, you know, all of his receivers are hurt. I don't like Russell Wilson going up against San Francisco. And I look at Derek Carr and he's, you know, he's averaging 39 pass attempts per game. He's top 10 in yards and attempts. And, you know, it's been 2 touchdowns in each game. I love his weapons. I think this Tennessee game, they are – Tennessee is the underdog. I actually think Tennessee is going to win this game, but this feels like one of those games that could get you into the – both teams in the high 20s to low 30s. So I just expect this to be more of an offensive display between these two teams than a defensive kind of slog. So I like where this game can go for Derek Carr.
And I feel like he's like – unanimously been on every single one of these we've done. Like, he's always on this list because he's that fringy guy of like anywhere between 14 or 15, but he could perform at like top 8, top 7, something like that. You need Devonta Adams to get going. The guy I've got is Tua Tagovailoa on this one. I know it's a bad matchup this week as far as like the Buffalo defense is what it looks like. I believe he's ranked 15th on the list. And actually exactly what you said, Brandon, is how I feel. There's a lot of quarterbacks I don't like this week. I don't like Aaron Rodgers well. I really don't like Tom Brady. And there's so much that I don't that the weapons in Miami just look so explosive. And really, if you watch the Buffalo games, I just don't think Buffalo has played teams that are representative of a dominant defense. Like, Tennessee had a first really good drive and they fell apart. That Rams week one just was not the same team that they are today. And I think that was representative of like how bad preseason time was missed and how the performance was. So I, regardless of it being like a good defensive matchup, really like Tua. I think Waddle and Hill spread the ball so much for him to get going. I've got him as a top 12 quarterback this week. So I like him quite a bit more, I think, than other people. Let's move over to the running backs. And we'll start with you, Brandon. Running backs you love more than others or slash a sleeper to perform this week, however you want to coax it up. What do you got?
Well, I stole one off of your list because you put two guys down. And I was like, you can't have two guys.
I thought I could have like two or three. I can, apparently.
And I might have used Nyheim Hines last week, but I think he had four catches and like 36 yards last week after like five catches and 50 in week one. And if ever there was a week where he might, you know, surpass those numbers, it's against Kansas City. I think we're all finding that Indianapolis is a much worse team than we thought they were going to be. But, you know, not scoring against Jacksonville, they're going to have to throw the football in this game. And Nyheim, we'll see how healthy Michael Pittman is. He could certainly help. But I just think Nyheim Hines, this is set up. Kansas City in the Andy Reid era, like, is always generous to running backs in the passing game on the defensive side. And that's showed out again this year. But I think this could be a 6-plus catch game for Nyheim Hines. I think I mentioned last week that he always has these random spikes. All right, you got serviceable numbers last week. I thought maybe it would be the spike, but I'm gonna double down on that. I'm just going to say, okay, let's give us. I think we're gonna get a little bit more Nyheim Hines this week.
I agree, and to be honest with you, the reason I put him on there is because I have a little bit of a higher name, and I wanted to hedge myself, so I'm not picking some RB2. So I had him on here, but I agree with all of that. If they're playing from behind, Nyheim Hines could get the. And I mean, I would hope that the Colts are gonna fix this, but it's amazing with how they can get behind, and then they're just like, yeah, we got Jonathan Taylor, but we don't need to throw it. Like, they had 10 touches with him last week. Like, maybe throw some screen passes and let him do something in the open field. They didn't do that. Probably going to do that this week, but it's not going to take away from Nyheim Hines. Jake, same question here. Running back you like more than others or really kind of seen as like your sleeper of the week?
Foss is freaking Charlton Heston, man. I'm going to pry Nyheim Hines from my cold, dead hands over here. Like, freaking all the time. I'm going with Devin Singletary, mostly because I felt for two reasons is that it looks like I'm a little bit higher than most, but also I've been very anti-Bills backfield basically ever since Josh Allen became a thing 2 years ago. And I continue to say, I don't want anything to do with it. And this preseason, everybody's like, oh, I'll be fine. I'll be Singletary now, James Cook. And like, James Cook's not even involved. It's Zach Moss time again. And this is exactly why, because you're still ceding so much to Josh Allen, the same as Cam Newton, which I always drew the parallel to. And I said, Cam Newton was fine with Christian McCaffrey, but that was because Christian McCaffrey was nobody else he was contending with. Singletary is still contending with Zach Moss and at times, little so, but James Cook. But I will say, the Ravens running backs didn't do a ton against Miami. And yes, a lot of Lamar Jackson's run came on that one giant 79-yard house call. But at the same time, you look at what Damian Harris did in week one. They're very vulnerable to the run, especially up the middle. Not that I think that Singletary is a beast between the tackles, but if you're looking for a week where you can start Singletary and feel somewhat confident as him finishing as an RB2 versus the risk of him flooring out as like an RB4, I think this is the week in the matchup where you can feel good about it.
Yeah, can I just jump in on Singletary? Every touch from Zach Moss is a wasted touch. But but here's the thing. And like Singletary just looks way better than everybody in that backfield. But here's the thing. I wonder how much of this has to do with Buffalo's just housing people. Last year, we saw them really lean on him down the stretch. And I wonder if they're just like, okay, whenever we have a game where we're just coasting, we're not going to lean on Singletary too much, and we'll use him more when the times, you know, when we have some contention here. So this could be one of those weeks. I think Miami could actually keep it close.
I like the idea of that. Zach Moss is celery. He's empty calories. That's how we're going to with him.
Parsley. Parsley. You don't even think about eating. Yeah.
Just push it off to the side. Get this decoration off my plate.
By the way, on the Singletary front, Jake, you've got Singletary over some solid names. I mean, Daryl Henderson, Michael Carter, Tony Pollard, Breece Hall, all those guys. I mean, that's the comfort level people are really trying to understand.
Yeah,
exactly. The player that I have got this week, so like I mentioned, I've got a higher named player, but I do like him quite a bit more than everybody else, is I've got Jeffrey Wilson Jr. And that's why I did hedge with Nyheim Hines. And it's obvious for like all the reasons. I mean, I was wrong about Debo getting the main front of the carries, and they really, really trusted Jeffrey Wilson Jr. early. I also think the 49ers are going to put it to the Denver Broncos, which is also going to put them in a position where they are going to be ahead. Denver's, I don't care what any of the stats say, Denver's defense does not look good, and it's made worse by their offense. And they're going up against Denver, the best defense in the NFL currently, which is also a little inflated because that Bears game. But they got nobody. Price is out. Tevin Coleman they just put onto the practice squad. They're probably going to bring up Marlon Mack. He's not going to get anything. Debo will get a few more carries, but they gave 18 carries to Jeffrey Wilson last week, and 14 Davis Price carries are gone. He's going to get 20 plus. He's not valued in the RB2 range right now on Fantasy Pros, and I've got him as an RB2. I don't care anything about the Denver Broncos defense. I'm all on Jeffrey Wilson Jr., and I know, Jake, you're looking like you full-on agree with me.
Oh, always do. Yeah, Jeffrey Wilson, top 20 range and top 20 range again this week for me. I'll throw out a bonus one real quick. Get the cereal ready. Ezekiel Elliott versus the Giants, because look, it's not just the fact that it's just, I think two things are happening here. One is, can we get some word on Leonard Williams? Like, the dude sprains his MCL and everybody's just like, oh, the last update we have is like from 3 days ago. That's a significant factor for the Giants defense, but I think the Giants defense is also getting overlooked because the two games have been kind of grinders. But Derrick Henry and Christian McCaffrey had zero problems running the ball. It's just they haven't let up a touchdown yet, which is just freak-wise. Like, Dontrell Hill, you got the two receiving ones. I think Zeke's fine this week as an RB2. I think people are panicking too much on him so far.
You know, like Pollard a little bit? There's something about Pollard in this matchup, but if they want to pound the ball, God, it's going to be Elliott.
This is how it became a joke last year. We've been doing Pollard for 3 damn years. Like, Pollard, just put him in the Hall of Fame with Marlon Mack and who else? We could put Darrell Green Beckham and Jeff Janis and all these jokers in the freaking Hall of Fame forever.
You better hope Pollard doesn't outscore Elliott. I'm going to mark this down.
He'll have a fine game, too. It's just that people act like he's 10 times better than Ezekiel Elliott.
He's pretty good.
What were you going to say, Funston? Sorry to cut you off.
I knew that was going to be a trigger. That's why I was kind of laughing. There's something about Pollard. It's kind of like it could be, you know.
Here's the perfect example. All you need to know is I was sitting here when this happened. It was like week 5, 6, or 7, somewhere around there. And Zeke got stuffed. And I said Pollard would have scored that as a joke because everybody was praising the living hell of the Tony Pollard and the change needed to happen and bench Ezekiel Elliott and all this type of stuff. And then as the game went on, I kept tweeting stuff. And I was like, Pollard would have ran that for 20 yards. Pollard would have did. And here's what I'm saying is 50% of the people thought I was serious. Like, that's all you need to know about Tony Pollard.
On the wide receivers, let's move over. Wide receivers you're sleeping on, sleeper, or that everyone else is sleeping on, sleepers to perform this week. We've got multiple names here. Didn't do it on the running backs, but we've got it here. So, Jake, let's kick it off with you. Where are people sleeping on wide receivers this week?
I already mentioned Russell Gage, so I'll go back to Russell Gage. I think he's in the same conversation as Jacoby Myers. Non-PPR, not super excited about it. Alan Lazard caught his touchdown. I don't understand why people are still like hesitant in Alan Lazard. It's clear the rest of the wide receivers are basically what the Giants are doing in this rotation mess of, like, you know, okay, the Giants have Sterling Shepard kind of leading the way, but it's just kind of like a mess. Well, the same situation is Alan Lazard is leading the way, and then it's a mess. Christian Watson got bumped all the way down to fifth with Sammy Watkins and Lazard out there, and then Dobbs and Cobb are kind of offsetting each other. So who's the one? It's Alan Lazard. Like, I don't understand why people don't want to start him. This is the flyer one. I don't say everybody who drafted Darnell Mooney needs to start him. But if you want to give him one more chance, here's what I'm looking at. The first 2 weeks, tough matchups. First 2 weeks, not a lot of passing too. And I'm hoping Justin Fields attempts more than 11 passes. But the Houston Texans are trash in the secondary, have already given up 10 plays, the most in the league, of 20-plus receiving yards on a play. What is Darnell Mooney's game? Justin Fields hits him for one, two, or three, you know, receptions, so it probably takes, what, four or five targets, which is still probably asking a lot. But if I wanted to give him one more chance and I was looking for the upside, I would give Darnell Mooney one more chance.
Who would you? Well, I guess I should. I was just about to get out. I was just
You're about to get
about
checked the linked?
A check the link. I was 100% going to do it, but I feel like I could do this on the show. I was going to say Darnell Mooney or Russell Gage. I could go look myself, but let me just hear from you. Who would you start this week, Russell Gage or Darnell Mooney?
Well, this is where context comes into play, though, too. So you could check the rankings, but yeah, this is a fair question to ask because Darnell Mooney is if you need the upside and you're willing to risk a zero. Russell Gage is the floor. If you want to guarantee you're going to get 5, 6, 7 points, you play Russell Gage. If you need the upside, depending on your roster. And for everybody out there, depending on your roster, don't look at your matchup. Don't look at what the projections on whatever site you play on say your team is. Evaluate your team for yourself. That's what you need to evaluate. Too many people make that. I'm trying to be nice. Like, I'm not trying to, like, talk down there or anything, and even though it sounds like it, but the people make that mistake way too often. Oh, I'm projected to score 170, and this person scores. So I'm going to do. No, look at your roster and evaluate it on your own. And if you feel you need that upside, go Darnell Mooney. If not, just play Russell Gage in the safe play.
Yeah, that's a great breakdown, and so glad I didn't get checked the link, too. I was just, that would have been a great moment. Check the link.
All
right, Brandon, same thing for you. Wide receivers that are getting slept on this week that you are buying into.
Well, I have Amari Cooper at 22, and I think his ECR was 30 when I checked earlier before this. I don't understand why. I mean, he looked great last week. There was the narrative out week one.
Oh, that's telling you why. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That he was wide open and that they just weren't throwing him the ball and that they made a concerted effort to get him the ball. And it went over 100 yards. So now you get Pittsburgh, who has allowed the second most receiver yards so far this year. So I don't know why he's not, you know, at least on that, on the bubble of the wide receiver two in the rankings. And maybe he'll get there. But, you know, we got a limited amount of time for him to get there since he's playing on Thursday night. I also like Devonta Smith, another guy who had a bad week one, 4 targets. Did not have a catch. Watched him last week. He looked great. He had the 80 yards, led the team in receiving yards. Brings something different, but, you know, he's going up against the Commanders, who have also been a fairly generous secondary as well. So I feel like now he's online. You know, A.J. Brown is still the guy that we're leaning on this passing, but I think Devontae Smith is going to be a very serviceable complement to him as well. And then my last guy is Jacoby Myers, who had 13 targets last week. Follow the volume and follow a team that is going up against the Ravens that just gave up an ungodly amount of production to Tyreek Hill and to Jalen Waddle. And obviously, Jacoby Myers is nowhere near their talent. But New England's going to be able to throw the ball. And Jacoby Myers, from where he's ranked, I think he should, you know, I have him ranked as a wide receiver 3 this week. And I think he's comfortably outside that in the rankings.
I've got 3 guys here. 2 are kind of bigger names. The first one is going to be one that this is more about just me liking this guy more than anybody else. But I think due to all of the waiver wire chaos of this week, he's probably going to have an insanely high start percentage. Just Garrett Wilson. And it's for obvious reasons. Joe Flacco loves Garrett Wilson. Joe Flacco is still the quarterback. That's math. There you go. Equals. And Joe Flacco plus Garrett Wilson equals start. That's what I'm going to do until I'll be probably a little tentative with Zach Wilson, but I've got Garrett Wilson very high. Chris Olave, obviously worried about Winston, but the air yards, the A-dot, the way he's going to break away. There's going to be a big breakaway play for a touchdown in the coming weeks. I'm hoping it's this week. I've got Olave pretty high. And the one I've got that's a lower name, it's Doolin in Indianapolis. Obviously, Pittman is still a little bit questioned. Looked like he's trending in the right direction, but they're going to be playing from behind. And unfortunately for all of us, we're going to have to watch Matt Ryan throwing the ball a whole bunch. And Doolin seems to be one of those favorite targets through the first couple weeks. So Pittman's going to take away from this, but I think Doolin is one of those deeper league guys that I think you can get back out there simply because this team is going to have to be flinging the ball. I don't have full on trust that they're going to, I mean, I think the smart play would be figure out how to get Hines and Jonathan Taylor the ball maybe every other play. They just don't do that, whether it's, you know, screen passes or whatever it has to be. So they're going to move the ball downfield. And when they do, Doolin's been getting open. He's been you know, put in a pretty good spot. So I really like him this week. It's a much, much deeper play, deeper than, you know, Mooney and stuff like that. But if you needed something out of desperation, I think you can go in that spot. And I like him quite a bit. This is always an interesting one. I really like this one because of the conversation it can bring up. And Brandon, let's start with you. Players that are making you think twice. And this can be in any capacity, positive or negative, or in my case, where you're just kind of sitting here and you're going, I don't know what to do sometimes with these guys. So who's a player that's making you think twice for week three?
DJ Moore, because he's kind of been in that circle of trust that it doesn't really matter who the quarterback is. And, you know, you just play him, you set him and forget him. But here we are, 2 weeks of Baker Mayfield, two lines of three catches, 43 yards. Yes, he had the touchdown last week. But you have the New Orleans Saints this week, and, you know, just I have the fresh memory of the Saints making look Tom Brady look awful last week, just awful. And I have Baker Mayfield ranked as my 32nd quarterback this week. So if I'm that down on Baker Mayfield this week, can I be that high on DJ Moore? So I'm not. I have him outside my wide receiver two range right now. You know, I have him in a couple of leagues and I'm playing him, but he's certainly making me think twice.
That makes me laugh. Jake, same thing. Player that's making you think twice, positive, negative, however you got it.
Negatively for both of these, but one is a player and the other one is a team. So with mine is Cordarrelle Patterson, mostly because I don't like the fact that, and I like Tyler Allgeier. I just don't like the fact that all of a sudden the Cordarrelle Patterson got like 50% of his touches taken away, even though, and I say that I like Allgeier, I'll admittedly say that even liking Allgeier, he did not look good in that game. And yet they still gave about 50% of those touches to Cordarrelle Patterson after what he did in week one. Maybe that swings back and they say, well, why are we going to mess with this again after we saw in week one and two? But I don't love the feeling of you want Cordarrelle Patterson to be in that 14-15 touch range. So a little bit concerned there, and also not worried, or I am worried that the touches might not come in that game as a whole because of how that game might go. The other is the Jaguars, like the entire Jaguars team. And this is why I say this. This is somebody that proponent of Trevor Lawrence, proponent of James Robinson, ETN, Christian Kirk, hammering Christian Kirk of what for the past month and a half.
Yep.
But this is a bad matchup. And this is one where I'll give you the comparison as somebody in the ranks. You talked about the comments. Somebody said all this disrespect for the Chargers defense. Like, look, fantasy defense and real life defense are completely two different things. You can have the best defense in the world, but for fantasy purposes, it doesn't mean a lick because you're too good. Unless you get a shutout, which rarely happens, you're just not going to produce a lot in fantasy unless you're getting volatility with turnovers or facing somebody like a Carson Wentz. So in this situation, I think Travis Etienne, James Robinson are both riskier than normal. Trevor Lawrence is too smart, and he's not throwing a lot of turnovers, so I think the Chargers as a fantasy defense are middle of the road, but for their true life defense is why I'm concerned that that Jaguars offense could be halted this week, and Christian Kirk might not see that top 15 value like he has been seeing.
But still a pretty dang good option in Christian Kirk, you know, working out of the slot like he is and being the number one wide receiver gets you hope,
right,
at
but
least.
But see, where Christian Kirk was going, you might have three better options this one specific week. Still, maybe not likely, but you might have just because of how he was drafted.
That's a good point. You know what I miss? I miss the, what was it, like early last year or maybe the year before, the where Cordarrelle Patterson was like used in all facets of the game. He's become just solely this running back who doesn't, like we would have those weeks where he was such a cheat code against the books. If you were making prop bets where it was like they didn't really know what to do with the rushing and the receiving, so it would always be like 30 yards every week. And then you would just smash both and you would get them. That Patterson doesn't exist anymore. And I don't understand why they've moved away from that.
You know what happened last week? Zero receptions. That's what they went to the end of the season, Cordarrelle Patterson, and they're facing Funston Seahawks, which are going to grind this game. We're opening the kitchen up for Geno. Yeah, sure, whatever. The point is, the Seattle Atlanta game is probably going to end up taking 2 hours to finish, and then it's not going to be a lot of plays on either side.
Yeah, it's odd. The guy I've got this week, it's more of a conundrum, I think, moving forward with him, and it's CeeDee Lamb. And I know it's CeeDee Lamb, and you guys can think, okay, this is him. But as far as the ranks go, rankers have completely moved off of CeeDee Lamb more than, obviously, he's not the elite option, but he's outside the top 20 even this week. Yet, his targets mirrored week one. He's had 11 targets in two straight games, caught seven balls, 75 yards is fine. Cooper Rush was serviceable in this offense. They also did the thing that you were really, really hoping they would do. I was hoping they would do is they would find any way to get the ball in his hands. They gave him a carry, work some end arounds, be more creative, get the ball in your best player's hands. Yet the ranks and the sentiment around him don't really seem like they match up as far as, like, you know, okay, we got an answer of where Cooper Rush did with his offense. We saw how much they targeted him, yet he's still plummeting down in ranks. And I'm not really sure how to move forward outside of, like, and he's a wide receiver too. You know, I don't have to worry about not ranking him, but, you know, he might be a trade value. Brandon, do you think Lamb is someone you would try to go out and trade with all the negative quarterback stuff around him since his cost is so low?
Yeah, I mean, again, that's a context question on what are people asking for? You know, so do I think my value, if I'm ranking him right now, is probably back end top 20 still, but I think I had him top 12 going in. So he's dropped at least a half a round, in value in my mind. Yeah. So I don't know. Just, it kind of depends. I would say I'd value him right around the back end of the top 20 wide receivers.
Jake, we're going to get Dak back. You're getting him touches. Do you think CeeDee Lamb is someone to try to go buy on right now, low?
You can buy low on him, but I would say getting him touches? No, they're getting targets. They're getting him opportunities. The touches aren't guaranteed. And the thing is he's facing a Dory Jackson this week. Unless the Giants pulled Dory Jackson last week where he went for the second best wide receiver and Robbie Anderson to shut him down, and DJ Moore got his touchdown, as you mentioned, if Dory Jackson's on CeeDee Lamb, which would seem to be the logical process here, because are you really afraid of Noah Brown? Michael Gallup, if he plays, is going to be on a pitch count. I can't. The ceiling is still there, which is the respect of who CeeDee Lamb is and the respect of what his ceiling could be if he sees 11 targets and can haul in half of them is why he's even 26 for me. Otherwise, again, strip the name off the jersey and he shouldn't be even inside the top 30. Granted, that's the talent, which is why the name is on the jersey. I think he's in the conversation right now for DJ Moore, Deontay Johnson, similar situations, similar worries. And I mean, heck, you could bench DK Metcalf and CeeDee Lamb this week if you wanted to.
Who'd you rather have rest of the season, CeeDee Lamb or DJ Moore?
Okay. Lamb, because he's got Dak coming back.
But Brandon, same thing. You agree?
Yeah, well, I was looking up Alex Korf's trade valuation chart right now to see where CeeDee Lamb lands. And it's kind of, if you're like flipping him for a running back, he's somewhere between James Conner and Miles Sanders. So that's kind of like the range he's at. A.J. Dillon's right there as well. And I was going to throw out A.J. Dillon as maybe like a decent challenge trade at this point. Would you, if you wanted to try to, you know, go for some upside at wide receiver, would you be willing to trade an A.J. Dillon? And honestly, I think I'm keeping the running back.
Yeah, I'm keep the running back as well. Quick tight end one, and then we might get to one debate here. How tight can you make that end this week? We'll go Jake, Mr. Jake Seeley. How tight is that end?
I think you can go a little bit deeper for streamers this week. I'm going against Baltimore in that trash secondary, mostly because there's so many people hurt. That's the biggest thing. And not that I think Hunter Henry is going to yank down a pass that was intended for the stands like Mike Gesicki did, but the vulnerability for this, the Ravens defense was already set up as vulnerable for the middle of the field as a tight end in past years, even when everybody was healthy. That's the one area you could target them was with like slot and tight ends. Now they have zero options because all the corners and safeties, all these guys are getting hurt. So I think if you're looking for a sneaky, it's Hunter Henry this week for the Patriots.
Okay, Brandon, how tight is that in for you this week?
Yeah, I'll follow the volume. I'll say Tyler Conklin, who is actually fourth among tight ends in targets. We're assuming CJ Uzomah is not going to be back against his old team this week, the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals haven't been great against tight ends so far. So I think, you know, we look at Conklin, and Jake talked about Joe Flacco just throwing and throwing and throwing, and it's resulted in 9 targets and 7 targets back-to-back for Conklin. So I think this is a decent flyer play for a tight end as well.
He's also top 10 in routes run for tight ends. So there you go.
Final round.
Correct. Route percentage. Skipping ahead.
And we had a couple debates in here. Pretty interesting ones. But the most interesting to me is this Michael Carter versus Breece Hall situation as far as ranks go. I think the ranks might have adjusted a little bit. But as I was going through and piecing together Brandon and Jake's ranks, one of the things that stood out to me, at least at the time, was the difference you guys had on the Jets running backs, where Brandon was team Breece, Jake was team Michael Carter. I think this kind of speaks also of maybe this Etienne James Robinson situation. So, Brandon, let's start with you real quick as far as Michael Carter versus Breece Hall this week. I know you said you made an adjustment. I don't know if you moved Michael Carter above Breece. I still see on the rank before, but I might need to refresh it.
I'm actually a spot ahead on Breece Hall over Michael Carter, and I think these guys are basically playing a pretty even split. I mean, first week it looked like it was Michael Carter, you know, clearly in the lead. Last week, you know, at least in terms of production, and a little bit more on the ground for Breece Hall. I'm thinking about this just kind of logically going long term and as the season progresses. Well, Breece Hall had a really decent game. Solid game last week. He's a first round running back, which is a rarity these days. And Michael Carter was good, but the Jets went out and said, we want to get a guy that we can have as a lead. So we're week three. Breece Hall looked good. Are we going to see a continuation of the Breece Hall evolving into a bigger role? I think it's completely plausible. And I'm kind of hedging my bet on the fact that, you know, Breece Hall looked good last week. Okay, maybe they're going to carve out even a little bit more for him this week.
Jake, you have Michael Carter inside your top 30, where Breece isn't that much further. It's more like high-end flex versus low-end flex. I think that's a little bit different where Brandon has them both kind of clumped together on the low-end flex. You are more team Michael Carter, who got more of the snap. So talk to me about Carter versus Breece Hall.
Yeah, I'm also somebody that says buy Breece Hall now before the shift continues to move along. But even last week, 60% of the snaps for Michael Carter, 25 for Breece Hall. And yeah, they both had 7 carries, but at the same time, if you want to talk about snap percentage for passing game, 65, 47, and 26, that's 26 to 8. And all the passing game, all of it is going to Michael Carter. And that's why right now. So if this was the Atlanta Falcons and a game where I actually think the Jets could run down the clock, they'd probably be neck and neck, and I would lean Breece Hall. But I'm going to compare this to James Robinson, ETN, Cam Akers and Daryl Henderson, all these type of ones where if I'm looking for how the game is shaping up to be, I expect more passing. And because Joe Flacco's at quarterback, I expect this game to be more passing for the Jets. And until those things shift where it's Zach Wilson and or a matchup where I think the Jets could run more, it's going to be Michael Carter, mostly because he is almost 90% of the passing game, third and long, third downs and stuff like that. So I think the shift is going to come. I do think Breece Hall will be the lead by the middle of the season, if not sooner, and that it'll be like a 60-40 split. I just don't think that starts against the Bengals.
Line sits at +6 for the Jets right now. I honestly think this is going to be a close game. And, you know, I think we're still for a lot of people, thinking about the Cincinnati Bengals team as a team that was in the Super Bowl last year. They got some serious warts. And Jets aren't terrible right now. They had a nice victory last week. Wait. So.
Welsh, did you invite Salfino in to replace Funston all of a sudden?
I don't know what we're doing with the Jets here. There's no chance.
There could be too much Salfino editing going on in my brain right now.
Friends, if you guys want, go over to The Athletic if you're not already subscribed. Plenty of people listening obviously are, but if you're not, go and check out Jake's article for week 3. There's some cake rankings. There's some full-on half PPR rankings. There's so much in there you can check out. So go and sign up today. Make sure you have those ranks to get you set. Accuracy rankings, Jake, was top 20 this past week. So things are righting themselves. The world is righting itself. It finds a way, Jake. It finds a way. And you were back into the top end, so I know you're happy about that. So people go and check that out over at The Athletic. Sign up. And that is it for the show this week. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. Find Jake on Twitter at AllInKid, Brandon Funston at Brandon Funston, and myself at IsItTheWelsh. We will talk to you next time, breaking down week 3 right here on the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. Until then, see you, friends.